Everybody. Welcome to the services out here at Grace Ranch. Let's start it off with a little prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that over the next period of time, you guide and direct us. Help us to choose the right way. Give us the wisdom and the discernment and the understanding that we need in order to move forward in you. And Lord, we ask that you guide and direct those that are ministering in your name, both here and all across the country on this day. In your name we pray. Amen. And can we come up and do a few songs for the folks?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the Lord a cheer.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise
Jesus. Tell you what, it brought tears to my eyes. It's been a long time. I wanted to see my kids saved by the Lord. But I got two missing. And I hope to see them join you. Amen. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, good morning again, everybody. That was some good music this morning. I enjoyed it. Had something pop into my mind. Let's see if it's something that's worth talking about. Doubt your doubts. That was something that me and Davey were talking about. It may have been last night, may have been the night before, but doubting your doubts. It's a good place to start, right? Do you doubt that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to forgive you? Have you received that forgiveness? Or you still think, nobody can forgive me? I doubt that doubt. Do you believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? Or do you wonder? I doubt that doubt. I mean, for me, before I became a Christian, I was a guy that could do it. I could do anything. Then I ran smack dab into a rock, pretty much split my head open. And then I found out that the things that I was doing wasn't worth a lick. And Paul said, they were dumb. And from that point, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I've been trying. I've been trying to get rid of myself. I've been trying to learn His ways. I guess I've been trying to believe. But the key is that I need to believe. I need to doubt whatever doubt I got left. And one of those, I guess, practical, experiences that we all have, it was a few months ago. Geez, it seems like it was a long time ago because of the things that have transpired, but it was literally like March or April that, the Lord showed me I was to pick up my whole family and move them out to the Texas desert. Wow. How's this going to happen? Is this just some cockamamie idea that Scott came about, just thought up? Well, all right. Talked about it, prayed about it. It's all right. Well, praise God, I'm going to move forward in it. And you know what? If it's something of the Lord, it'll come to pass. And if it isn't, it won't. So in this short time frame, the Lord was able to wrap up every sort of business affair, personal affair that I had going on in Vermont. We're talking animals were sold, my house sold in literally like less than 30 days in a housing market that ain't nothing moving, right? Hey, we get these confirmations along the way, but, we need a new vehicle. How do we figure that out? Well, let's try to sell these and see what happens. Well, praise God, one of them sold for the exact amount for the vehicle that we needed to replace it. Scott can't make this stuff happen. None of you can make this stuff happen. But He can. I mean, all of the assistance that we've received from, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord along the way far surpassed any of my expectations, because my expectations were based upon those of the world, right? I learned out in the world not to trust anybody, not to ask for help because you ain't going to get it. And if you do, there's going to be strings attached. There's going to be some other shoe that's about to drop. But when we're all together in a body and we're all pulling on the same rope and we're all pulling it in the same direction, there's a lot that can happen. So as I move forward and learn and hopefully grow, I'm going to continue to doubt my doubts, put my faith in Him, and just trust in the sufficiency of His sacrifice. Amen? Okay. Come on up, Rick.
What a privilege to be here. I mean, miracle. This is a miracle. The unbelievable miracle. I mean, Scott was talking about the things that happened to get him here, and I know there's a lot of people that have sort of taken steps to get here and like set up here. But I've never seen the Lord move like He did with Scott. I mean, like, boom, 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 done. Praise God. Because when you're moving in God's will, there may be obstacles, but they're just an opportunity for God to do another miracle. And that's really what you're looking at. And I was thinking, and I knew as I was driving here, I said, you know what? I bet your dad's going to ask me to preach. I knew it. So I was praying. And I was saying, Lord, you know, what is it that would be useful? And I was thinking about the spies that went into the promised land. There was 12 of them. And 10 of them came back and all they saw was how they couldn't do it. And 2 came back and all they saw were the great things God had for them. And the difference between those 2 guys was purely the perspective by which they chose to see it. The circumstances weren't any different. I mean, the 10 guys saw the good, but they fixated on the bad because their faith and trust was in their arm, not God's arm. The 2 guys that went over there, they saw all the bad things. They saw the giants, but they were remembering what God just brought them out of. I mean, He just wiped out the most powerful nation in the world with the flick of His finger. And they knew, because God had already done that, they knew they had nothing to fear because their perspective was not on their limitations, but on the mighty hand of God. It was just their perspective. It's the only difference. They're looking at the same picture, coming to a different conclusion because their perspective was different. So I was thinking about this because I was talking to a guy, he's an air gun guy I met. And he's got a lot of things going on. And he says to me, I had a lot of things going on too, none of which, if you're looking at them, look terribly good, but I knew that there was good in it for me, even though it was uncomfortable. And he says, how can you not go crazy? I said, well, if I go crazy over this, the only person that's suffering is me. Why not rather look at the opportunity that exists in God's ability to work something here? And he's not a believer, at least doesn't claim to be. So to him, I might as well be talking, who knows what, gibberish, because he doesn't get it. But I could tell this guy, look, it's just about perspective. If you understand that God is able, and as you're looking at the difficulties in your life, if you understand and you submit to God's will and you surrender and humble yourself and repent, God can take all that negative and turn it for your benefit. That's his promise. All the obstacles, all the circumstances that would be insurmountable can be flipped on a dime just by your perspective. It goes from trusting in yourself to trusting in God. And the catalyst to God moving is your obedience and faith in Him. That's it. Trust God. So I want to read a scripture here. If I can get this doohickey to work. We'll go to Philippians. Now, Philippians is one of those books that I start in one place, but I'm like, boy, there was some good stuff before that. There's some good stuff before that. And before you know it, you're chapter 1, verse 1. And all I want to do is encourage you to read it, because Paul loved these guys. If you go through, there's only one group that he says, you know, I believe and I know that what God has started in you, He's going to finish. He doesn't say that to anybody else. You know, Christians will sort of latch onto that as some sort of excuse to keep going the way they're going. But the testimony of the Philippians is that they were the only ones that had been faithful from the time they heard the gospel up until then. They obeyed Paul in his presence and his absence. He knew, because of their track record, because of their obedience, because of their faithfulness, he could say that God's going to finish what he started. He loved these guys. And he talks to them about all kinds of really cool stuff. We're going to get to chapter 4 here. And this is, he's wrapping it up. And I believe if you look at historically, Paul's on his way to be offered up. This is his last letter to them. This is like his final goodbye. And this is how he wraps up his letter to them. And he says this: therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, it reminds me of that scripture we've really focused on last conference when Paul's talking to Timothy. Stand fast in the grace, right? So stand fast, he tells him. Now, verse 2 is interesting. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He's saying, children, get along. If you go back, I think it's in chapter 2, he's telling them, look, if there's anything I ask you guys to do, it's be of the same mind. Love one another. And it reminds me of the service you guys had here last week. Love one another. So here he's telling these two guys, get along. You know, get along. Look at verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, turn the page, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So he sort of wraps up that little bit. Look at verse 4 here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, alway, and again I say rejoice. Now, if your perspective isn't right, you can't do that. You can't do it. You're going to be one of the 10 looking at that hallway and saying, but if you're one of the 2 with your eyes on and faith on the Lord, then you can look at that and rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Is our moderation, is that what we're known for? That evenness? See, if you have the right perspective, then as you're looking at things, you're not up, you're not down, you're moderate. Because your faith is in the Lord. His ability to solve it. How many of us have uncertainty in our lives? We all do. We all have the unknown. But if your trust is in the Lord, there's nothing to fear in the unknown, is there? The only thing to fear is your doubt. We've already heard today, what are we supposed to do? Doubt our doubts. Is God able? Amen. Does He love us? Amen. If He has not withheld His only Son, is He going to all of a sudden start withholding stuff from us? No. He loves us. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. How many of us are careful for stuff? Worrisome. The great ponderous what if. How many people have the what if scenarios? They run through what if this, what if that, what if the other. What if the money doesn't come? What if the money does come? Oh my goodness. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. How many of us are just live in that worry, that world of the what if? My wife's a good one. We could call her the what if queen. She says, what are we going to do when Naomi's 18? I said, I don't know, she ain't 18 yet. But I said, I'm thinking, first last month's rent out of our house, I don't know. Here's your present. Go find a place to live. Yeah, well that would, I mean, let's wait and see, you know. But she, I mean, and maybe people, I would say women are worse, but I don't know that they're any worse because I get the what if syndrome. I get the what if this, what if that? What if they don't buy the Moonlight videos, God? What if? But it says, be careful for nothing. Stop worrying. Look, and this is even goes stretches further. When you were given the word of the Lord to move to Texas, you could have been careful for a lot of things. But you were careful for nothing. And what happened? The Lord moved. When those 10 went to look at and spy out the promised land, they were careful for a lot of things, and look what it cost them. The 2 were careful for nothing, and look what it gained them. The testimonies in the Word we see, to be careful for all that stuff is to not trust God. And without faith, it's what? Impossible to please Him. All right, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, isn't that true? You know, when you can lock into that, then when you're telling people about what's going on and the good things that God's doing, they're going to go, huh? What? They're not going to get it. They're going to think you're a loon. But they don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. They can't understand it because it's a spiritual peace. It's that knowledge that God has your best interest in mind. And if you are a part of His plan, what is there to fear? It's when we're outside of that that we get in a lot of trouble. So Paul goes on here. In verse 8, this is sort of what I wanted to get to. There's so much good stuff beyond that, but I think I'll stop after this. Or I'll just keep going, and then Dad won't be any time for Dad. Not that that would ever be the case, but anyway. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, boy, has that ever been twisted in some churches. Because I can't walk out. Shoot, I can't even look in my own mind. I fail on this. I mean, I don't need any outside source to have me thinking things that I ought not be thinking. But that's not what this is talking about. It's your perspective. Choose to find the Lord wherever you are. Choose to find the Lord in that trouble, in that tribulation. It says tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Those struggles we go through, often caused by our own stupidity, yet they're either for our correction or for our growth. Find the Lord wherever you are. Find the Lord in that situation, in that circumstance. It may be a lesson that you made a bad choice and now you say, all right, now I know not to do that again. Is that not yet a blessing? May not be comfortable. I know I don't like it. But it doesn't change the fact that the Lord is in it. It says He chastens those that He loves. Amen? Goes on to say that He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And I say this over and over. Last time I checked, scourging leaves a mark. So we find ourselves in places. We find ourselves looking at an impossibility. But God's yet in the impossible. He's there. You got to look for him. And that's what he's telling these guys. He knows what these guys are going into. He knows what these guys are going to have to struggle with. And he tells them, whatever is going on, find the Lord in it. And he goes on, this is the passage that says, I can do all things with Christ, in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. This is how he's ending his book to these guys. You can't do any of that if your perspective is not right. But with your perspective, being on the Lord, you can love God. You can love one another. You can see God in all the things going on, even all the trouble we see in the world today. What does that tell us? Jesus Christ is coming soon. And is that not the most awesome good thing we could be hoping for? It's all about perspective. You get perspective right, nothing can get in your way.
Thank you, Rick. How about playing me a song? Lord, you're beautiful.
Holy.
cheer. Praise you, Lord. Wish I could sing, but I'd rather know the Lord than sing. I'd rather know His love and His power and His mercy and His grace than be able to sing. I can still quote the words. Others can do the singing. Amen? I'm not going to take a lot of time. But it was a thing said this morning that I hit upon and that I heard in the South Carolina meeting and in the Vermont meeting. And I want the Vermont church, the South Carolina church, this church, and all those listening to be different. To be different than all the other churches out there. I want to have the brotherly love. Amen. But here in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The vast majority of people who call themselves Christians are deceived. And they don't know it. We're not deceived. We know the truth. But do we do the truth? Because how can they have the blinders removed and the deception taken away if there's none to show them the truth? James says over in chapter 2, verse 14, what does it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Well, we know that we can't please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Can't do it. But what is faith if it stands alone? He goes on to say, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Now, so many people read this and they say, oh, we got to do a bread kitchen. A soup kitchen. Or, oh, we got to do a clothing thing. Or, oh, we got to do this. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's saying, what good is your word if you say to someone who's naked, be warm if you don't put clothes on? What good are you? What good are you if you say to somebody who's hungry, be filled, and you don't give them a sandwich? What good are you if you're a Christian and you say you have faith in Jesus Christ and you can't raise the dead? What good are you? What good are you? What good am I? If I say I have faith and I have not the works of God, what good am I? Jesus said, if ye believe on me, the works that I do, you shall do also. He shall do also. Yea, far greater works than these shall he do. What were the works of Christ? He preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He worked miracles. In Mark, says, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We heard Steve today share about how as you go out into the world, you don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to India. You don't have to go to Timbuktu. Just as you go out in the world, preach the gospel. I like what one guy said. If you have to, use words. If you have to, use words. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's as simple as that. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Can't get any simpler. How do you know if you believe? These signs shall follow them that believe. How do you know if you got gas in the tank? Well, first of all, you look at the gas needle. If it says you got gas, then go ahead and start the engine. If the engine starts, woohoo, you got gas in the car. But I know a bunch of people out there that call themselves Christians that sit in their pews and they're saying, my car's full of gas, man, I'm just full of it. Yeah, you're full of it, all right. And you ain't going nowhere either. Now, I'm going to close, but I'm going to close with this. If you're one of those who have not walked in the power of God, rather than rejecting my word, go in your closet and tell the Lord, I want to stop being a hearer only, and I want to start being a doer. Help me believe. Help thou my unbelief, that I may have faith and begin to do those things which you'd have me to do. It's as simple as that. You may have been a Christian 20 years. You may have been a Christian 30 years. You may have been a Christian 40 years. Sitting on the pew in the church. Those of you listening by internet radio right now, or that are listening on tape or whatever, you may have been sitting back for years and years and never so much as prayed for someone with a headache, having faith that they'd be healed. That's okay. It doesn't matter. Because yesterday doesn't count. What counts is right now. And this time and the time tomorrow and the time next, every day starts new. Every day starts fresh. Every day is a new beginning with Jesus Christ. Every day. Forget the former things and move on. Go in that closet and say, Lord, I want to believe. Help thou my unbelief. And watch what happens. He will begin to move on you. He will begin to move on you and in you. And make you different. Make you that peculiar people that will draw his people to you for him. Amen. Praise God. Bless all of you.
Clap your hands, all you people, and pray. your head go.